Welcome to Small Town Radio, the show with the biggest facts about the smallest towns. I am your host, Maxim, and today I'm joined by my co-host,
John Mulaney. Better than Dreamboat, folks.
Better than Dreamboat. Well, today with us, with me and Dreamboat, we have a very special guest. We've wanted to have him on the podcast for a while now, but then the pandemic happened, and then me and Connor were too anxious to have a guest on here and record a three-way podcast over
remote podcast.
Over the internet. Yeah. So today we have the very funny, very talented Lucas Arnold.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Maxim, I haven't heard you host a show in a long time, and wow, that really brought me back to New York.
Aw, how are you feeling, Connor? You feeling tearful?
I have so many mixed emotions, honestly. Things are going okay, but you know, people make the place, and I met some of the greatest people I've ever met in New York City. And so when you leave, you don't just leave your apartment, you leave some friends behind.
Oh man, so, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Maxim hasn't said he's sorry yet, too, but I blame him mostly for the pandemic, so.
I do, too. He has that kind of face.
Yep, it was my fault. Someone made a Black Plague joke on stage, and I came up, and I riffed a modern pandemic joke, and then before you know it, boom. We all had to stay inside, and wear masks.
Should we do social media stuff?
Yeah, Lucas, what you got to plug?
Yeah, sure. My social media, I'm on all social media at Lucas T. Arnold. That's Lucas with a K. And my website is lucastarnold.com.
You know what I like about your handles, Lucas?
Yeah.
Is when the T that's in there.
Yeah.
You know, I always read it as Luca Starnold.
I actually made a TikTok recently because a lot of people have gotten confused with that online. Like people thought, oh, I thought your name was Luca Starnold, or I thought it was Luca Starnold. Then they just got really mixed up. And I was just like, guys, if you go to the top of my profile, it just says Lucas Arnold. It just shows my name. Like the T is just in there for my username.
I love that I'm not the only one who saw that. That makes me feel very good about myself.
Yeah.
All I know is there are two things. One, Lucas, you're the first person that made me realize, I should have all of my social media be the same, not all these random things across all platforms.
What it was is that I'm a big fan of another comedy podcast that you guys are my main squeezes, but there's another one.
You hear that?
There's another one, The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler. And at the beginning and end of all of his podcasts, he says Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. And I just really like the way that sounds, just that uniformity. It's so simple. I'm just like, I need that. And so,
what about, how do you feel about, how would that sound to you if it was Connor Kvyatchyn on all social media? That would be helpful.
Well, I know there are other like comedians that do like maybe just the first initial of their last name and then like, you know, like Connor K Comedy or something like that. Like they, and so if it's like a really lengthy last name or just has a little bit too much flavor, like your last name has a lot of flavor. So like,
that's a great way to put it. A little too much flavor.
Yeah, that's a generous term.
The other thing too was I was very big on TikTok. For myself,
clocks only. I remember.
Yeah, you and about four other people were the only people that would like my videos, and people. I've talked about it on this podcast. It was literally only clocks, only clock related content, and people would be like, "Why are you doing? Like, I don't get what you're doing here." I'm like, "You're not my fans.
Yeah,
only my real fans understand.
It's only a niche crew that gets it, and they're the only ones that matter."
Actually, I don't think I've ever said on this podcast what the real grand plan was, though. The real
plan
with that was to make the world's worst, most on-the-nose TikTok account and make a documentary behind it.
Oh, my God.
It was supposed to... What was it?
You said grand plan? Did you mean the big hand?
It's just so elaborate.
It was... What was the name of it? I had a big name for it, and
documentary.
The past. It was, yeah, I had a name for it all picked out. TikTok, Clock's Only a Mockumentary, something about like The Time You Never Asked For, or something like that. But that wasn't it. Yeah.
See, this is what it's like to record with Connor every week, Lucas. This is what happens.
What do you mean?
Oh, TikTok is very much like Twitter in that you ride the waves of like trends and make it original as you go along.
Yeah.
Clocks Only would have had more success if you were like, I love it when you clock me, Senorita, and something like that, and just bounced off Lucas there.
Or did like the Renegade with, I don't know, just like somehow like get Clocks to do like a dance or something. I don't
right.
know.
Instead of hitting the woe, you could hit the like 6 p.m. hit the 9 p.m.
I like to imagine myself, instead of riding the wave, being a riptide, and those who are on this journey are getting dragged down under with me.
Oh my God. That was so nefarious.
Yeah, that was sometimes first idea is not best idea. That's what I learned on this podcast.
I liked it. I liked that account a lot. It made me smile.
That was the only goal. Have you been on TikTok, Maxim?
Part. Huh?
Have you been on TikTok?
I just lurk. I don't post anything. Lucas sends me TikToks to watch, and sometimes I send him TikToks to watch, and then I scroll through the For You page. That is mostly Lucas at this point.
That's a good for you page. That's a well-trained algorithm.
Well, I feel like people might be guessing about what the format of this show is, considering we haven't said what town we're going to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to explain it or am I going to explain it?
Why don't I explain it?
I know
with
I'm recording
zero preparation.
I'm editing this week. So this week is a recap with a longtime listener. I don't know. You don't need to out yourself, Lucas, if you didn't stick with us through that lull of only 10 listeners per episode for about 15 episodes after the quarantine hit, but I know you were a fan of the show before it happened, and maybe you listened to one of the last few, but we figured it's fun to recap what the show is like with someone who's listened on the outside.
Cool.
You were outside the car as we are leaving
and I
on
will,
a road trip waving.
And I will admit I have not listened to every single one, but I am absolutely a fan of the show and I have listened to a bunch of episodes. And that's time spent in good company.
So for those of you listening at home, the situation is me and Connor are in the car doing our usual road trip banter into our microphones. And Lucas, we've locked him in the trunk. And we're like, give us feedback, Lucas. Give us feedback.
I just want some
another
water.
Speaker there pumping the music. So it's just this one giant feedback sound in the car.
Yeah. I just want to be let out. I miss the sun.
Don't we all? Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Cool.
Yeah. Is there anything else before then? I know anything else. Maxim, how's your podcast going? Let's plug.
Oh,
that.
It's going pretty well. I just had it released on all platforms this week. I finally pushed through and got the rest of them.
Woohoo!
But it's called Don't Quit Your Day Job. Lucas was actually episode 2 on that, and
yeah.
It's going pretty well so far. I'm having an issue where more people are listening to the trailer every day than people listening to the episodes. And I'm like, I kind of want to get rid of the trailer now just so it doesn't suck up like potential viewership.
I think that's a thing people do. Because usually the trailer, I feel like the trailer sometimes goes out to make sure it's distributed on all platforms.
Yeah. And I think even though I've only recorded 5 episodes now and 3 have been released at this point, the trailer, I think what I talk about in the trailer makes sense for what the show is, but I don't think it captures the vibe of the show as well as it could.
Chill vibes?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty chill. It's chill. A chill show. I've had some very chill people on there. We've had a lot of really good discussions. It's great. I'm having tons of fun.
Yeah, it seems very educational for... Not necessarily educational in the formal sense, but educational in the terms of learning about other people, learning about other possibilities through the lens of storytelling.
Yeah. And I guess that's the theme that keeps coming up is even like the podcast is literally I want to hear different perspectives on people's creative journey. Everyone's creative journey also boils down to, I stayed true to myself, but I looked at lots of other things to get perspective about myself. So it's kind of this like very meta thing I've got going on. I don't know. There's going to be a pattern. I feel like by like 100 episodes of it, I'll be like, I can master any art form I please.
Lucas, as a guest, what was your take? Is what he's saying true?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. No, it's, I really enjoyed it. I need to listen to Caleb's and Alex Kim's episodes, but yeah, it was a very good, like, I was a big fan of Inside the Actor's Studio. And so I love learning about like actors or just artists' journey onto how they got where they are and what stuff they did along the way. It's exactly the sort of one that I would seek out.
For sure. That's, yeah.
What I need to hear.
Alex Kim was at the very first mic I went to when I moved officially to New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Him and Andrew Clamper.
Aw.
Yeah.
Did you introduce yourself or did you just sort of like they're funny?
I didn't introduce myself to anyone. I was a very shy person at the first mic, but we both ended up at Buka Restaurant in Brooklyn, New York, great Nigerian food. Alex and I were both there and we ended up talking. So he was really the first person I talked to at an open mic New York. Yeah.
In doing open mics, I decided, okay, never censor yourself if you want to give someone a compliment. And so if there's someone you find funny, go up to them and say, hey, what's your name? I thought you were really funny. That one joke you did was awesome. Have a good night. And just give them a compliment. And Alex Kim was one of those people where I was just like, oh, I need to say hi and tell you that you're, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so right too. Cause it makes a huge impression on the other person. When I was new to New York and people would say that to me, I felt encouraged to talk to them about other creative things afterwards when I saw them, even though they didn't really remember who I was.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just like it's associating a nice feeling with seeing your face and potentially like talking further the next time. Like it's also just the world you want to live in where someone will compliment you if they thought you did a good job. Like that's just the world you want to live in. Yeah.
Well, do you know what world I want to live in?
A world of small towns.
Small town radio. Found that
the sickest of transitions.
Okay. I want to just kick this off because I pulled up some of the questions Maxim and I asked each other during the podcast to just get the conversation rolling about an outsider's perspective. And I went all the way back.
Connor listened to 47 hours of podcast to prepare for this episode.
Oh my God. Connor, is that for real or no?
The city of Dawson.
Dawson.
Wait, Lucas, what were you going to say?
Oh no, I was going to ask Connor, I was like, did you actually listen to all 47 hours or so?
No, I've recorded them and edited half. So... No, I haven't, but I do. There was a moment that really stood out.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see. I want to make sure I get the name right. The town of the city of Dawson. Yes, that's the name of it, in Alaska. And Maxim, do you remember what was there?
The toe drink.
The sour toe drink.
Oh, I know about this, yeah. And it's put in like the bottom of the glass in every single like tourist who just like wants to try it.
Yep.
And it has to touch your lips, otherwise you can't say you did the thing.
Yeah, the sour toe drink is what it
was. Sour toe cocktail, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that really stood out to me out of all of that is the fact they were not on their first toe. And it started in the 1950s. Those are the two things. Like, this was not like pioneer times necessarily. This was like, I don't know, our parents' generation pretty much. Who thought this was a thing, but the first toe got swallowed, which I feel like is a big risk. The big
it's
red
also
flag,
just a dumb tourist who did that. Why would you open your mouth out that far such that you could swallow a toe? You're just...
I guess the question, though, is would you do it?
Oh, I would do it. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not a squeamish person. No.
Interesting. I'm squeamish. I would definitely think really? A lot about it. But I feel like there's no way that they could serve that drink if it was going to harm you.
Like, no.
And advertise it.
Yeah, no. No, they wouldn't do that.
Do you not but think like, I'm a squeamish person?
Wait, Connor, I'm curious. Like, do you have any, like, foods that, like, 100% you're never going to try them? Is just that rubs you the wrong way, the idea of it?
I would say...
Human toes.
Besides
human flesh is close to the top of my list there.
Prude.
No, I eat a lot. Like, I try and eat very healthy. I meal prep all the time. And, yeah, it was... I'd say it's more I'm risk averse as a person in general. And so if
it.
I see something that may be harmful or like or not harmful, just like a risk, I'm not super inclined to do it. But the other thing too is like, I don't know, I cut my finger pretty deep when I was younger. And like, I remember just being able to see the tendons of skin growing back together, and ever since then any like knives or anything like that could cut me would make me very squeamish, because
well that's very understandable, especially if you have like that kind of experience. That's totally understandable.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, I well it's just I like talking about like what foods people find like gross, because like it's a weird thing. Ever since I was little, I knew one day I was going to eat insects. I just knew that was going to happen.
Was this like you in the playground, you picked up a beetle and were like, not now, someday.
Not a fresh one, not a live one. But the thing is, like, my mom told me that when she was a kid, she ate locusts and said that they tasted like peanut butter and said it was great. Mm. And so I just always had in the back of my mind, I was like, I feel like someday I'm going to eat bugs and I'm probably going to love them. I just always knew it. And the thing is, like, I bought like a bag of like dry roasted assorted insects, like some kind of not worm, but and like crickets and other stuff. And it was all dry roasted and salted, and they were delicious. They were so good. I was like, I knew it. I knew these were going to be awesome.
Max,
so
and you can buy them on Amazon
without hesitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Max, how do you feel? Where do insects fall on the vegan spectrum?
You know, I think as a moral vegan, I don't believe in eating insects.
Yeah.
However, I understand in terms of the middle ground between pure veganism and what we have today, insects are an excellent middle ground between, like, I don't know, they're just like, there's lots of protein. They're apparently very flavorful. You can make a fucking billion of them at like very little environmental impact. Like it seems like a good like substitute to other things we eat. But I wouldn't eat them. But I would do the sourdough drink.
Also, to anyone else in New York City, there is a wonderful Mexican restaurant near the Museum of the Moving Image where I got grasshopper tacos, and they were delicious.
Whoa.
I would try that.
Yeah.
That sounds tasty.
Ooh, were awesome.
In New Orleans at their like insect emporium, they actually have a little restaurant in there where you can eat a bunch of different types of bugs.
Whoa. How long ago? I do.
Maxim, do you have a question off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, okay, as a listener, Lucas, has there been a town that's really stood out to you that you vibed with?
Taos, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I like to hear that.
It just sounded like a good
part?
Vibe.
Facts.
I mean, it just seemed like a fun vibe to the community. Just like a fun, artistic kind of vibe. I was just like, oh, I would love to like go there for like a week and like see what's up. It just seemed like a cool place to go to.
Yeah, I feel like that one's in a similar vein to Carmel by the Sea, where it's like artsy.
Yes, wait, did Carmel by the Sea have like a something about a newspaper?
Oh,
something
what was
about
it?
Like the town
did
newspaper?
A name for the newspaper. Let me look it up. I have
I remember
I have our drive right here.
But But yeah, Taos is great. And like, it was funny because I went to the Met last week with my girlfriend and mm-hmm. we were going through and they had a Georgia O'Keeffe painting. And my mind immediately went to, oh, we talked about Taos on Small Town Radio. And her name came up. You got
okay.
it, Connor?
Reverse question. Do you have a least favorite town? Excluding Hampstead, New Hampshire. That one, of Ooh. Course. Is obviously your true favorite, but
I think that's a hard one because if a town is not particularly interesting, you're just gonna erase it from
your memory. That's fine. Okay, I'll revise my question. I will ask a different question because that's not necessarily a fair one. We like to raise up towns and not put them down, so that's not fair. Okay, do you remember Christmas, Florida?
Yes. Okay. I'll recap
for you and for listeners.
Okay.
There was a place, there was a Christmas museum there, but you could only open it on special request. And I was speculating that's where Santa Claus went to live out the summers. But do you have any guesses of what could be in this small, kind of mysterious museum?
In a Christmas themed town in Florida.
But they also have some roads named like Valentine's Day and stuff like that. So it's
well,
the holiday theme.
I know that rocket launches have to be done from Florida because it's close to the equator and that the Earth is not a perfect sphere. It's a perfect sphere. It's an oblate spheroid and it's actually wider at the equator. And so it's probably closer to the atmosphere. So maybe they have to make preparations for Santa Claus's launch, which might not be originally in the North Pole, though he lives there. Maybe he treks his way down to Florida and then launches himself or prepares for his launch at these times.
Interesting. So how did the packages get down there? Is Santa the real
Amazon.
Hero of the USPS?
No, it's Amazon.
He sold out.
Yeah. I mean,
I found it. It was Carmel Pine Cone. That's the name of that.
Yes, that's what it was.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, no, I.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Under lock and key, what do you have?
Yeah. So wait, what are the times of the year that it's closed?
It's only open by special request, is what I recall.
I see. So they have to have like time to like sort of like stow everything away to like keep appearances.
Yeah,
up.
I think you need to call someone and ask.
Yeah.
And it's not on their website. You just have to know the number or you don't know the number.
It was like some really obscure website. It was not Wikipedia.
I mean, it makes sense that like Santa Claus might have outposts and not just have everything based in one centralized location, but he sort of disperses his responsibilities very much like the presidential cabinet, you know?
Ooh, I've got one. That's where the servers are that hold the naughty or nice list and the archives.
So that's where he goes twice a year.
That's just his remote server room. So he logs in and he zooms an elf who lives there. And he's like, all right, let's see the spreadsheets. Hang on. Does Santa, during the year, mm-hmm. is he working and helping make toys? Or is he just reviewing the naughty nice list?
No, he's...
He might be making his rounds to various places across the world and like examining these different outposts. And then... Yeah, and sort of getting a shorthand of, like, the naughty or nice lists.
I feel like Santa is a hands-off. He's not down there with the employees. He's been at it too long. That's why he got the labor.
We need an undercover boss episode where Santa is an elf.
Oh, God. That'd be... Whoa, this elf is 6 feet tall, huh?
And enormous.
So I have a question regarding one of our earlier towns as well.
Okay.
So do you remember Leavenworth, Washington?
Oh yeah.
I don't think I remember Leavenworth, Washington.
It was the town in Washington that redid their whole town to look like Bavaria.
Oh, this I do remember now. Yeah.
So my follow-up question is if you got to redo where you live, if you got to redo Park Slope in any country's fashion, what would you choose?
Any time Ooh. Period, too. Right? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. If I had to redo my neighborhood, and so in any country, in any sort of time period or fashion.
Yeah. Yep. You get to totally transform what you live in into a new place, but it stays where it is.
Oh, that's very, very tough. Oh, God. Can I go for like interconnected tree houses?
Oh, yes. Magic treehouse vibe.
Yes, Endor. If I could, yes, I would 100% go with
take
Endor.
You anywhere.
Well, technically, it's the forest moon of Endor. So, yeah.
You know that if that neighborhood was actually interconnected tree houses, no one would be in Prospect Park. They'd all just be looking at the tree houses all the time.
I mean, yeah. But it'd be a happy distraction. I mean, like, that would be such a fun way of getting around.
Treehouse, have you done the ropes course? I'm very bad at the ropes course. I do not have good stability at all.
No, I'm very good at climbing. I was always very good at climbing. So I think I'd be okay.
See, I wasn't
a
climber growing up. I wasn't a tree climber.
Did you ever do like rock climbing? I did rock climbing ever since I was like 4.
I got embarrassed. I was a runner, and so I felt like I was fairly fit, but whenever like it was like a class rock climbing thing, I could never make it up more than a quarter of the wall. I had terrible upper body strength, and that's probably why I was a runner. So I was, I was embarrassed.
The thing about rock climbing is you can't give up that early. I started rock climbing when I was 20, 21, I think, and I looked like a little bitch on those walls for 3 weeks probably. And then once you get your finger grip all good and you get your foot technique down, piece of cake.
Oh, I did real mountains though. I did mountainsides. I went out there.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Went up to find the bugs.
Yeah. And like just around. Oh yeah. Bugs. But yeah, just like around upstate New York.
That's cool.
I think definitely around New Paltz. Yeah. I went rock climbing with my dad.
That's cool. I have one more question, and I have this idea to throw out as well. If you have another question too, Maxim, but I was after, you know, maybe questions, you know, we have our ad break, of course. And then maybe because we've been peppering Lucas with these questions, what if he gets a chance to pepper us with some questions? How does that sound to everyone? I don't want to put anyone on the spot more so, but I just feel like we've been putting this on you.
I'm okay with getting peppered.
There's no pressure. It's just an idea to throw out there.
Okay, wait, I do actually have a question. I believe there was a town that's on the verge of dying. It only has one resident. I think it's like a woman who's
Manawai.
A librarian. Manawai, yes.
Yeah.
And so, my question originally was like, if you had to move there, do you think you could build the town up again? Somehow, or like do so, or like with comedy or something, like attract new residents just with like an artistic vibe or something. Or
are you asking us if we can recreate Fyre Festival?
I'm not asking, I'm telling.
Dude,
I'm telling you to do it.
It's perfect timing, perfect segue to me talking about what I'm plugging this week, which is my GoFundMe for Fyre Festival in Nebraska.
For Rebuild Manawai Festival.
Manawai? Why not?
Manawai not, yeah.
Okay, I am brought to you by the Outdoor Treetops Ropes Course that we will be installing to attract people to our version of Manawai, Nebraska. Interconnected treehouses. That's what will get you some residents.
Do you have a sponsor, Lucas, before we answer your question?
Let me see. I am brought to you by my Bow Truckle toy from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is just sitting in my booth right now. And it's
are you a big Harry Potter fan?
I am a huge Harry Potter fan. Huge.
Maxim, where do you lie on this again? I forget.
Where am I what? Sorry?
Where does Maxim, where do you lie with Harry Potter?
You know, I watched all the movies. I do enjoy it. and respect it, but I am not like psycho about it. And no, I know I've ranted about this before, but there are only two houses, okay? There is Gryffindor and then there's Slytherin, and the rest don't get discussed at all in any of the movies. So they don't exist. So if you call yourself a Hufflepuff or a Ravenclaw, you are working solely on a fan fictional description of Harry Potter. You're either Gryffindor or you're Slytherin. And the rest of you can fuck off, all right?
Oh, my God, so aggressive.
This argument, to me, has no credibility because he goes, I enjoy the movies and I respect the story. Do you know what the story is? The books.
Yeah.
And how many times have I read them? At least 3 point whatever one it, over it, seven
it's like,
is.
I don't know. It's yeah, Maxim, you doing that is like arguing the merits of Well Done versus Rare Steak. Like, it's just, you don't have a horse in this race.
Yeah. I do agree with your point, though, as a self-pride thing. If you self-identify as Hufflepuff, what do you really think of yourself? Like, I get there are some people who just identify with fans, who identify as fans of teams that'll never win anything. So I get that there's a culture out there, but I'm like, come on. You can at least be like Cedric Diggory Hufflepuff, not like the rest of them who never get mentioned.
I remember I was going through this like work training that basically just exactly corresponded to these Hogwarts houses. Basically, I think it was called Priosis. Hold on, let me see if I can actually look.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I've heard that before.
Yeah, it was basically like identifying different customers by sort of basic personality type that you could tell like how to best serve them. And
and you either serve them by being brave and courageous or being a shady snake or by just backing off into the darkness and not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like the other two houses.
I do think to return to your question for us, because I feel like we're avoiding a little bit, because you answered all our questions very bravely. Harry Potter now needs to come into this thing that I would build. I feel like Harry Potter fans travel. They are a loyal, courageous group. I know maybe less proud now with the whole J.K. Rowling thing that came out.
Not quite as fun.
Yeah. So maybe I'm revising. I'm a big fan of the Hunger Games, the movies. Most because I had a giant crush on Jennifer Lawrence for a long time.
I mean, a lot of people did. You're in good company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got into the Hunger Games that much, really.
No, it's a ripoff of Battle Royale, and Battle Royale was amazing. And so when everyone got into Hunger Games and I had already read Battle Royale as an edgy 15-year-old, I was like, you guys, it's like you don't even like people dying. Like, you don't like kids getting killed? Come on.
I need a picture now of you, Maxim, when you were 15, just to like put an image to this ambiance you've created.
I imagine him without facial hair.
Aww.
Oh my God, you guys would die if you saw me. I have some great pictures in my archive.
I really want to see it.
Okay, just like always, just regular pants and then like some heavy metal band shirt. And I had like that was like at 15, I had like a helmet of hair because that's like skater kind of look was in. So, and it was long and it would swoop off my glasses on a ski jump.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it so much.
It was bad. I cringe a lot and I'm turning it into material in the last few mics.
If it makes you feel better, when I was like, throughout middle school, up until I was 14, I tried to grow out my hair long because I got really into the Beatles in sixth grade, and so I wanted to have long hair. But the thing is, like, my hair is nowhere near the texture of the Beatles. It's very, very curly, and it just sort of grew out, and I looked like I had the exact same silhouette as Alex the Lion from Madagascar.
Ooh.
So specific.
Yeah.
It was bad. Okay. This question. Could we rebuild it? I think, Maxim, we have the means to know how to rebuild a town, a small town. But my question is, would I want to ruin what is a great
ruin the
story?
Small town charm?
Add to the small town charm? I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is if you rebuild it, then they're like the one person in charge of it right now has a lot more work to do.
Hmm. Do we want to gentrify a one person town?
It depends. Are you planning on dropping like a mock Diagon Alley on that town? Is that what your plan was? Is that what you were implying?
Well,
earlier?
Sign me up. Yes, if that's what gentrification is.
I don't know why I started picturing like Connor like setting up like a bunch of like false buildings and cardboard cutouts of people like in Blazing Saddles to divert the ruffians and just like, and like, this isn't Rock Ridge, that's over there. And
I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question. Maxim, do you remember the episode we just talked about poop the whole time?
Yeah. It was somewhere in Alaska. I can't remember the town name off the top of my head. Yeah, Did you listen to the poop episode, Lucas?
I might have. I might not have, because I think that would have stuck more in my memory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that answers the question. I would have said, as a person who's listened to the podcast, are you for or against poop, entire poop episodes?
Oh, no.
Question answered.
I am pro poop episodes, 100%.
We should go back and listen to that one.
I need to now.
Halfway through, the whole episode just descends into poop jokes.
It's
like
Alaska.
Non-stop.
It's Talkeetna. It's like talk, Talkeetna. And that thing went off the rails because we talked about moose droppings. Like there's a moose drop event. And then we just like wordplay like one off. Oh, dropping means poop. And then it all was a shit show after that. In the best way possible.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I love it when the conversation devolves into something vulgar. That just tickles me. I'm very pro that.
Yeah.
So, is there anything with this show? Is there a place you wish we would have gone? Country or a state or anything that comes
Magical
to mind
village.
So far?
Village.
I think it would have been fun to go into maybe very, very small towns in the UK where not only they have their own dialect, but their own whole language. There are places.
Well, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, 100%. I saw something recently of a woman who, let me try to find it. She lived on an island off the coast of Scotland, and she had the oddest accent. It was beautiful, but it was very, very strange. And I want to try to find this woman if I can. But
that,
yeah, there are,
when we did, oh, go ahead.
No, I can do you want me to look up now, or I could look up later?
You can look it up now. I'll say,
yeah, sure.
Maxim, do you remember when we did Derry, New Hampshire? And then we pulled up those sayings of how Derry was pronounced in the native language.
It was like, I Derry. Don't remember that one.
It was like I can't remember how it was spelt, but it was like D-A-I-R-E or something like that. And then there was a few pronouncers like Deer D. It's like, where are Deer you getting? D. Where is this extra D coming from?
I mean, we did cover a town with their own dialect, and that was Smith Island, Maryland, with the Smith Island cake and the people who talk like they're from the 1500s.
Yeah, I remember cake. That
yes,
changed.
I found I found what I was looking for. Shetland is the name of it.
Shetland,
and Shetlandic apparently has its own. And there's this woman, it's called, like, the YouTube video is called Wiki Tongues, Christine Speaking Shetlandic. And she has, like, it's Scottish, but it just isn't. And yeah, basically, like, and my dad told me this, this story, like, my dad traveled up and down the UK when he was younger, and he was listening to, like, a couple of farmers somewhere in England, and he was like, what's their accent? And his friend who knew the area was like, oh, no, that's not their accent. That's their own language. It began with a D. It was like Dorkin or something like that. But yeah, there are whole isolated sort of language communities all over the UK.
Do they enjoy wordplay? They're like silly itty bitty boys.
Connor's scoping out places to do his curbside show.
Oh.
Do they like puns? Do they like wordplay?
I mean, if the travel opens up over there, you definitely should do it. I mean,
don't worry, no one laughs in America at this joke either.
Oh no. They definitely would, yeah. They definitely would.
That's cool. I've pulled that up. I'll definitely check that out. Okay. I have a question. I know we're winding down to the end of our normal recording time here, but where do you stand on the name Redacted?
Oh, on like your name being redacted?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to hear your name. I want to.
Oh, okay. That's
ha.
Max, gotcha. It looks like you were holding your breath, and now I can just feel you going, yeah, I was right. I was totally right.
I was right the whole time.
I was just like, yeah, I just want to hear your name, man. Just do it.
For me, it was, I enjoy building off of a reaction at the beginning of it, getting the feel out of the way. And I think I am the person, and I'm getting better as a comedian about it, not taking a joke too far.
Which is hard because you're a distance runner, as we've discussed.
It's hard though. Like as comedians,
of course.
No, yeah, like
to be exact.
As a comedian, like you, it's sort of in your nature to take a joke as far as it can, to the point where you actually do cross the line. So it does make sense.
The finish line.
Ah.
In first place.
Yeah, the problem is with introducing yourself without your name as a joke for almost 50 episodes is that you're never going to hear the audience eventually laugh.
Yeah.
It's just going out into the internet,
it's
and we're just like, we don't know.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make you chuckle a little inside?
It did make me chuckle a little bit, but after I was like, no, because the thing is, like, I empathized with you as a comedian who's trying to get your career going and puts stuff out there and content and stuff. And I was like, dude, I want people to know your name. This like hurts me to hear.
I think that was the long game with that joke, because now I can laugh at myself, which is always the goal.
That's good. But
I mean, right.
Actually, I want to laugh at you and know your name. You can, porque no los dos, you know, you can do both.
The thing I'm really learning, because I've been doing these curbside comedy shows and I've been getting a lot more stage time when you create your own shows. So I've really been able to stretch out and like build new bits. But I'm realizing I'm reclaiming more and more parts of my life that either I was embarrassed about or like that hurt me. And so like I'm taking ownership stakes of things.
That's
and
awesome.
I feel like those are the oftentimes what comes to stage or something that like struck me in a very certain way that left a strong feeling, good, bad. Otherwise, I try and find the funny out of it. And so when I think about that, like that type of thing, I'm like, this is going to stand out to me. I don't know exactly how yet, but I know at some point, hopefully I can turn it into a laugh.
So this episode has been Connor's long-winded defense of redacting his name on the podcast this whole time.
No time like the present to adjust the past.
We should go back and edit all the episodes.
And then just like put it like a super robotic voice, Connor Kafiachain.
I'm your host, Maxim, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Connor.
Beep. anything else? What are we thinking?
I don't know. I think, Lucas, is there anything you want to throw in here at the end before we wrap up?
Do you guys have any small towns that you would enjoy spending a weekend? What of the small towns would you like to spend a weekend?
Esperance. What'd you say?
I said Esperance, Western Australia, Carmel by the Sea. And then also the one, I wish I could remember the name, Cooper Petty, the underground tunnel one in Australia would be cool to check out. But I don't know about a week of that. That would be a cool like day trip.
Exeter, New Hampshire. Because that's where my parents live.
Get out of here.
Connor, bless you, but for fuck's sake. Oh,
yeah,
actually,
Carmel by the Sea would be one. I've spent my time in Florida. I don't need to go to Christmas.
I did actually just remember, Maxim, did you talk about Mesa Verde in New Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned it, but Mesa Verde is in Colorado.
Oh, excuse me.
Is that an early episode or something?
Maybe.
I think I mentioned it because I did a lot of towns over there that are kind of by the Four Corners near Mesa Verde.
Yeah. No, because when I was 10, my parents and we flew to San Francisco and we drove all the way back to New York, hitting up all the national parks. And one of the places we went to, besides Four Corners, was Mesa Verde. And I loved the idea of a cave dwelling. And that was actually some place, if I could sort of camp out there for a weekend, I really would actually love that.
It's a really beautiful area. I've camped there once or twice. When I went there when I was a kid, though, I was a very high anxiety kid. Mm-hmm. And seeing the dwellings under that huge cliff, the tour went down there. I just waited at the top because I was scared that the rock was going to fall the whole time.
I feel that.
Crush us all.
I feel that.
But of course, it's been standing there for more than 500 years or something. So that is completely ridiculous of me to even think about. I'd do it. I'd go back and actually go down into the dwellings now.
Yeah.
And not be so scared.
I also what I look at very late at night to the small hours of the morning, I'll look at earthenware houses and cave dwellings and people building stuff underground or semi-underground. And I learned that it's apparently really stable temperature. It's 54 degrees Fahrenheit year round because it's not really as exposed to the elements. And it just stays the temperature of the earth. And so I got really just interested in underground homes. And I think that started with Mesa Verde. Because that was what my that was what my dad told me about cave dwellings and stuff. I was whoa. But yeah, Connor, go ahead.
to paint this picture of you, though, you like rock climbing, you enjoy cave dwellings, and you are interested in eating bugs. I feel like that all fits.
Lucas is going to survive the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't have much in the way of upper body strength or survival skills, though. I don't know what mushrooms you can eat versus can't eat. I want to, though. But, I don't have that many survival skills.
You don't have to worry about it. Candy. I don't know mushrooms from candy, so...
I think the thing is, in the apocalypse, if you enjoy living in the cave and you're cool with eating bugs, we'll just pay you bugs to be our voice actor.
I mean,
that's your apocalyptic role.
I could do it. I'm okay with it.
Can you, your next booth is going to be in a bunker 100 feet below.
It's going to be carved Brooklyn. Out from the sandstone.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
All right. That's. Do you have anything else? I don't have anything else.
Not really.
No, nope, I'm good.
I'm good, man.
Man, well, what else is happening? Not too much. This is when I do my hour-long monologue now. what is it? You can check out this show on Instagram at ST Radio Pod. You can send us talent suggestions by being a guest on our podcast or probably more conveniently emailing us at smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. I guess from now on, the guest is always right. I am Connor Kvyechain. Boo.
Yes.
You can boo privately to yourselves at home. But that's who I am, folks.
Cool. And thank you so much for being on this episode.
Absolutely.
Lucas.
It was so
we
much
fun.
We wanted
to have you on for a more formal episode, but this is what we got
right now.
Wait,
hold on. So wait, I remember the date that I was originally supposed to be on. It was April 24th. So this is April, May, June, July, August. 6 months in the making.
6 months, yeah. What's today's the 10th, right?
Yep, today's the 10th.
In 3 days, I will officially have left New York City for COVID 6 months ago.
Whoa. Oh, it's crazy. That's how much time has gone by. That is nuts. Well, this is a somber note.
Yeah, right. Here I am thinking about all the generational trauma this is going to cause the kids of today. And I'm like, oh, right, I'm recording a podcast.
All I know is I got to talk to see my nephews more during this time than I would have if I lived in New York City. So,
aww.
Pros and cons.
That's very sweet.
They're great.
That's the opposite of what I expected in normal times. But I don't know. I was thinking the other day, this might be a little bit dark, but I was too young to remember the world pre 9/11. There are going to be kids who are going to be too young to remember the world pre coronavirus.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep. That's for sure.
This is a very sound, but I think about the kids that are
happy Monday, everyone. Stop. We hope you're enjoying your week, getting off to a good start.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's all we got for this week on Small Town Radio. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you again for coming
on,
Lucas.
I love this.
It.
Thank
it
you guys
fun.
For having me. And thank you to the listeners Absolutely. For thank supporting you. These wonderful guys.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.